All right, we're going to talk about something tonight, a little bit, I don't know if I'd say deep, but it is to some degree. And if you don't understand it, then that's okay. I didn't either. So you'll figure it out one day. Something to think about. So look, if you will, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 1. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. For her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no longer an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law, by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We are oftentimes like a little boy who arm wrestles his father, and the father lets him win. And the little boy jumps up and down, thinks he's so big, and he thinks he's so good, and he thinks he's so wonderful. And little does he know, he has absolutely no strength. We're sort of that way with God. We sort of step up and say, boy, aren't we good. Boy, we do wonderful things. We're so good people. And God looks down and says, little do you know, that's not what you are. And your relationship with me will never be based on what you do. The law, in basic God's terms, the law has condemned us. The law has shown us that we are sinners, that something is not right. It is like an X-ray. It is not a tool that God uses us to make us right before Him. The problem is not the law, it's us. And so God has used the law to condemn us, to show us that we are sinners. And another thing He does when He saves us, He changes our relationship to the law. And so I want to look tonight in these, in chapter 7, when he begins to talk about the law. Verse 1, he outlines a basic principle to illustrate what he's going to talk about. He says, know you not, brethren, that I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. The first thing he does is he says, know you not, is this is a self-evident truth that he's presenting. It's a general idea, a general principle that he's trying to bring forth to illustrate the point that he's going to make. That is, the law has authority over me as long as I'm alive. But once I'm no longer alive, the law can do nothing to me. Lee Harvey Oswald probably killed John Kennedy. But he was assassinated the very next day, and there never was a trial. There can't be a trial to find out his guilt or innocence. There can't be anything to condemn him before a court of law because he's dead. The law has dominion over us as long as we are alive. That's the general principle that he outlines to state forth his case. That as when we are alive, the law has authority over us. But once we're dead, the law can do nothing because we're dead. So then in verses 2 and 3, this is what Scripture says. He illustrates the truth. He says in verse 2, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. And verses 2 and 3 are an illustration of this truth. He's just doing like I would do. I use an illustration from somewhere to illustrate what I'm talking about. So the Apostle Paul uses this as an illustration. And his illustration is this of a marriage. And says that when the woman is married to the man, they're bound to one another as long as he liveth. But once he dies, then they're no longer bound to one another. The marriage has been revoked. He says in verse 3, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress, meaning that she is married, but she cannot become married to another man because he is alive. But once he dies, she is free. There is a particular person I know whose husband went off to Iraq, and he was killed. Sad, he was killed. And as far as the law is concerned, that marriage no longer exists because he has been killed. A couple of years later, she remarried. She married. And there is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that at all, because simply that is the illustration he's trying to use. And so he goes on the last part of verse 3, but if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no longer an adulteress, though she be married to another man. This is simply an illustration. I want to illustrate that the law does not have dominion over you if you're not alive. And the marriage law does not have dominion over the woman or the man when one mate is gone. That marriage is no longer. She is free to marry another one. Now, he then says in verse 4, now this is the truth I'm trying to get across to you. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you're also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. He has stated a general principle. He has illustrated it through marriage. And now he comes to the truth. The law, as far as condemning me or you, the law as far as that's bringing us under God's judgment, cannot be applied anymore, because as far as God's concerned, we're not alive. We have died through our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the law cannot condemn us. In chapter 6, he starts by giving one precious truth, that as far as God is concerned, in the eyes of God, not as what we see. God knows who are his. God knows who belongs to him. You and I can look out and make observations, but for those who are truly his children, God condemned us. He used the law to show that we were guilty. He said we were condemned to an everlasting eternity without him. But through Jesus Christ, God considers that Jesus Christ died, but not only that, but that I died, I was executed for my sin through my substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, he then says, I have now become dead to the law by the body of Christ. I no longer can be condemned because I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Now, why is this important? It is important because we as sinful humanity think that if we just obey two or three laws, that we somehow are righteous, that we somehow are good. And God knows otherwise. God knows that there is no life within us. God knows that no matter how hard we try, we fall short of his glory. God knows that he cannot tolerate sin. So what God does, he doesn't do away with the law. He ends us and our relationship to the law. I have now been put to death. Notice what he says. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. The law with its demands, the law with its judgment, no longer applies to me, because I have been executed through my substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am now free. That's why I believe once saved, always saved. Now, I don't believe once saved, walk an aisle, always saved. I believe once saved, truly saved, because we're taken out of Adam and put into Christ, and we are made brand new people in Christ, and therefore the law cannot condemn me. When someone says, you know, I'm just as good as those Christians down there, they may be, but that's not the basis upon which I'm judged anymore. I've already been taken care of. I've been judged, and the law has no more ability to condemn me anymore. That's why he said it in chapter 8, there's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ. Why is it important? Well, notice what he said. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, we're not literally married. But what he's talking about is that the law can never make us righteous because I am incapable of fulfilling the law. And so God makes us righteous through Christ. God ends us and our relationship to the law as far as being accepted before God so that we can have life in Christ, so that we receive a life from him. You see, when I am outside of Christ, I have no life. I'm physically alive, but I have no life. And what little I think I can do to fulfill the law, it is an impossibility. So God must take care of that so the law cannot condemn me. He cannot condemn me so that now I can be joined to Christ and I can now have a relationship with God that's not based upon my slavish obedience to the law, but simply based upon now I'm in Christ and Christ lives in me and I have life inside of me. I'll illustrate it this way. On a pecan tree in the back, you know, if the limb is sawed off, that's it. It's sawed off. It's done for. That's dead wood. Now, I could take it out there and I could try to stick it in the ground, you know, and I could probably go out there and water it a little while and put water in. And I probably could go and buy some different fertilizer and different things, and I could just do all I could to try to see if I can get some pecans off that limb, but I'll never do that. I might even go out there and put the Ten Commandments up and say, do this. That limb's dead. That's the way a person is outside of Christ. There's no lie. So God must take us out of that, and he must end our relationship to the law as far as acceptance, so that now we can be joined to Christ and have life. That limb is able to bear fruit because it's connected to the tree. Notice what he says. We are to be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, if you think God is just interested in saving us and then nothing happens, you don't understand the Christian life. That's not what God's interested in. God looks down and says, I want fruit. I want evidence of something. Outside of Christ, there is no ability, no way that we can do anything to achieve the law. So God must take us and put us into Christ, and God must do away with that relationship that makes us accepted through law, and then he must give us life so that now we have his power and his strength and his life, and now we can really produce fruit. That's what God wants. Years ago, I used to play tennis, and I thought I was pretty good. You know, I played a friend of mine, and he was pretty good at tennis, but I always beat him. And he'd oftentimes get mad. He broke a few rackets over the wood somewhere. He'd get mad, and I just beat him. And now when I look back and realize, I thought he was good, but the truth is when he hit it back, he just hit it back to the middle. And so I'd stand there, and I'd think of some games. I'd hit it hard one time, and then he couldn't get to it. Another time, I'd mishit it, and it'd go dinking over the net, and he'd have to come run. Then he'd hit it back to me, and then I'd hit it hard. It was so up and down with me, but he always did the same thing. I could beat it. And I remember entering a tournament, and I thought I was pretty good because I beat him all the time. I mean, I thought I was good. I entered a tournament, happened to be assigned to play the number one fella. I found out I wasn't all that good. There was another girl who eventually went to become the number one tennis star at the University of Georgia 4 years in a straight. And I remember going out there playing one day. And she's just goofing around with us, you know, and we were playing, and oh, you know, boy, I don't know what's so tough about her. And then she just decided to quit having fun and play. And I remember she hit the ball, and I never saw it. I never saw the ball go. I guess it was in, but I never saw it go by. She was so good, it was unbelievable. She never even made it to the pros. She never could make it to the pros. That's how good they are. Now, I use that to say this. You and I think in our own limited understanding that if people just do a few laws, they're okay. After all, preacher, look at, they're not that bad. Truth is, they don't have any life in them. They're like that limb. They're dead, and they can't produce the fruit that God wants. They can't produce the fruit that is the character of God because they don't have God. And so God says, as long as you use the law as the thing that you think makes you accepted, or as long as you depend on yourself to achieve the law, you'll never produce fruit. So what I've done is I've ended that relationship. And through your substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, I called you to have died in Christ. And now you've been joined to Him and you have His life and His presence. So that now what is produced in my life, if I obey the Ten Commandments and put God first, it's not because it's within my strength. It's because God's life is causing me to do that. And I need not fear to be condemned anymore, because the law can't touch me. I'm free. The preacher, I'm not perfect. So what? I'm not either. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to obey the law. And that doesn't mean there are not consequences, but we don't obey the law in our strength. We obey the law in the very power and the presence of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and self-control. And I can't produce that within myself. And so God says, I must bring you into my Son. I must put my life within you so that now you will bear fruit. There's not a single person I can say, I wished I could. I wished I had the power to bring and save someone. I don't have that power. I have the ability to present the truth, but only God can produce the fruit that comes out of my mouth and that comes out of your mouth that will affect change in people's heart. That is only the power of God. In humanity, we have nothing. But in Christ, we're connected to the root. And now we bear fruit. Notice what he says. We bear fruit, should bring forth fruit unto God. I thought my tennis was pretty good. But it would have been hilarious to see me playing at Wimbledon or the U.S. Open. A lot of people out there think their righteousness is pretty good, but it's hilarious to God. It's nothing to God, because God says, that doesn't impress me. What impresses me is that I've ended your relationship with the law, and now it is my life that will produce the fruit. I want fruit out of you. You and I don't go out there, none of the farmers go out there and plant a crop and say, boy, I hope nothing comes up this year. I absolutely hope nothing comes up and I don't have to work near as hard. Of course, I won't be able to buy any groceries, but I hope nothing comes up. No, they go out there expecting a crop. They expect a harvest. They expect fruit. And when God saved us, He knew the only way He could produce fruit that pleases Him was to connect you to Him and His life and His presence and His power. Now, which one are you? I want to say once again, when the limb is cut off, that's it. That's who we were before Christ. Now we're no longer cut off. We're in Christ. And now God has said, now what I want to produce, yes, I want you to be obedient to the law. Yes, I want you to serve me. I want you to do that. But I want it to be done in my power. Now I'm free. I don't have to worry about condemnation. If I want to, I can come to God and say, you know, Lord, truth is I don't want to go to church today. Lord, I don't want to read my Bible today. Lord, I don't want to pray today. I'm free to tell God the truth because I can no longer be condemned by my failure of the law. But now I am free to receive his power to produce the desire to do those things. You see, that's where a lot of Christians say, I've got to hide stuff. You know, I've got to put on a big front. You don't have to put on a big front with God because you're not condemned. You're free. So if you're falling short of the glory of God, just tell God, I don't want to. I don't want to. I've told this one before. Man told his wife, he said, I don't want to go to church today. And she said, why not? Well, I just don't want to go to church. And people aren't not nice to me sometimes. I don't want to go to church. Well, you need to go to church. Well, I don't see why I have to go to church. You tell me why I have to go to church today. Because you're the pastor. Sometimes I don't want to go to church. But truth is, I am. Because I'm not dependent upon some slavish standard. I'm dependent upon a life that lives in me, that produces a fruit, that produces God's grace in me. You know, this is one of the secrets of the Christian life. Remember what I told you on Wednesday night? Whenever you are tempted to sin, the devil said, go ahead. Grace is okay. You'll be okay. He'll forgive you. And as soon as you step out there and sin, he said, aha, condemned. You're not condemned anymore. You can tell God the truth. God already knows it. God already knows you. He knows you don't want to go to church. He knows you don't like that sermon. He knows you're just too tired, you don't want to pray. He knows you don't like sister so-and-so. He knows you don't like brother so-and-so. He knows you can't stand this. He knows sometimes you have a rotten attitude. He knows all that. But now you don't have to hide it. You can tell him the truth because you're not condemned. And then once you tell him the truth, then you can ask him, Lord, work that in me. You'd be amazed. You would be amazed when you step forward to do what you know you should do. And if you depend on God's power, you'll be amazed at the life he will produce. This is what a lot of Christians are doing. The limb's been cut off, and they've taken some duct tape, and they are taping it on the limb, trying to get some fruit. And there's just no life in them. No life. Because they misunderstand. God intended that the life come from him, not from some slavish, I did a couple of laws today. Listen, folks, I fall so far short. I mean, preacher, you're a murderer? No. But I felt it in my heart. You mean, preacher, you do that? No. But I felt it in my heart. I realize how far short I come. And I can come to God and say, okay, Lord, and he doesn't condemn me because I have been set free from the law as the basis of my acceptance, and I'm now become married to Christ. The end has to accept me. We're married. Good or bad. Now, maybe before, you know, I had to put up a little bit better front. Not that I don't do the front now. You know how it is when you date, you put up a better front, you know. You're married, now you're you. You just stuck with one another. But you're married. And now we've been joined to Christ, and we have his life. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word, and we pray. Oh, we pray, Lord. Teach us your precious truth for all of us, including myself, that so much of the fruit is self-dependence, and so much of the fruit is in my own human strength rather than in the very life that you give through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, set us free to not feel condemned, because we are not condemned. We have been set free from the law as far as its basis of acceptance before you, because we have died, and now we've been joined to Christ. We have a relationship. And yes, Lord, we do obey you and we do serve you, but not because we have to, but simply because we love you and we want your life living through us. Help us to learn these principles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.